O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Children, today is already the last day of our Blessed Mother's month of May. Usually today we would keep the feast day of the Queenship of Mary, but that feast day is delayed or transferred until a week from tomorrow, after the feast day of the Sacred Heart. And that's because all this week we're really concentrating on the Blessed Sacrament, that is to say the Holy Eucharist. Our Lord coming down on the altar in the sacrifice of the Mass, our Lord coming to our hearts, for some children for the first time on Sunday in First Holy Communion, and our Lord who's with us all days in the tabernacle, all year round. Our Lord who comes to us not only for our First Communion, but who goes to the sick and to the dying for their last Holy Communion. I remember when I was your age, which seems to me now it was probably a long time ago, at my parish, of course back then, all the priests said the one true Mass and everyone had the same true Catholic faith, so it was very different then. But in my parish, as in all the parishes, the fathers would say several Masses in the morning, and then for the benefit of those who had to go to work but who still wanted to receive Holy Communion, they would sometimes before or after Mass distribute Holy Communion. And that way the workers could come and they could adore our Lord and receive Him, make a little thanksgiving at least, and then be on their way to work having made their Holy Communion, even though they couldn't stay for the whole Mass. There was something like that that happened in the life of a saint whose feast day fell this year on this past Sunday, Trinity Sunday, and he's the great and beloved Apostle of Rome. He's called Saint Philip Neri, a great saint of the Holy Ghost and the love of God. Well, in his time, there was a certain man who was a devout man and who would come regularly to receive Holy Communion. And after he received Holy Communion, he never made a thanksgiving. He never went back to his pew. He never knelt down as you children are trained to do, and never put his hands over his face to thank our Lord and adore Him and pray to Him and ask Him to bless you and bless everyone else. He never made a thanksgiving. Well, St. Philip didn't like to see that. He knew that wasn't right. And so St. Philip, who was never afraid of what people would think, one day called his altar boys and he said, "Boys, come here. Take your candles." And so they took their candles, and they were burning already. "Take your candles, and see that man going out the door? You follow him." "Where should we go, Father?" "Follow him right down the street. Wherever he goes, you go with him. Put yourself one on one side and one on the other." Well, the man thought to himself, sometimes St. Philip did sort of funny or exaggerated things to make people be humble, especially if he thought they were proud. And the man thought that St. Philip was playing a trick on him, maybe to make him be humble. And he didn't know what was going on, but he certainly couldn't go to work with with candle bearers on each side dressed in cassock and surplice. So he turned around and went back to church, and he saw St. Philip in the sacristy, and he said, "Father, what do you mean by sending these altar boys out with me?" "Well," he said, "when the Father leaves the church with the Blessed Sacrament on a sick call, the servers always go with him with the burning candles, and you have our Lord right there in your heart." Well, the man learned his lesson, and from then on, he always stopped for at least a few minutes and knelt down and made his thanksgiving, as we must all do after having received Holy Communion. Children, that's all the more important if we remember two truths. The first truth is this: the Blessed Sacrament, when you receive our Lord, is actually corporally or physically present within you, a bit as The sacred host is in the ciborium, the golden ciborium, from which Father gives you communion, a bit as our Lord is all the time in the tabernacle, and as our Lord was in the Blessed Mother during the 9 months that she was carrying our Lord before she gave birth to him. That is to say that until the sacred host dissolves, you're a tabernacle. You're a ciborium. You're like Our Lady. Do you see how prayerful and holy you must try to be? How long does the sacred host actually stay on the inside of us? Well, different authors have different ideas or theories about that, but everyone says at least 5 minutes after you receive Our Lord, and some say up to 15 minutes after you receive Our Lord. That's why we make a thanksgiving. Now, some of you, especially at our daily school mass, may say, but I'm serving the mass and I have to take care of Father with the cruets or the bells or the paten, or I'm singing the mass, and pretty soon after communion, I have to open my book and open my mouth and start singing again. Well, that may very well be true, children, and on those days, that, of course, becomes your prayer. But there's no rule against doing two things at once. If you're serving, boys, be especially recollected and devout. Think to yourself, our Lord is on the inside, and I'm serving him on the outside. If our Lord is served by you for singing in the choir, think to yourself, I opened my mouth to receive Jesus. Now he's in my heart. So how will I make my thanksgiving today? I'll ask the angels to help me to sing and praise him joyfully with great recollection. In other words, I'll try not to think other thoughts, and I'll offer up my action for God's honor and his glory, and to thank him for coming to me. And all of us have, at different times, when we don't have to serve or do some work in church, we have the opportunity to make our thanksgiving just as we were instructed when we made our first Holy Communion, that I put my face over my hands, and I close my eyes, and I thank our Lord for coming to me. I adore him. I tell him that I love him. And don't just say the words, but think about all those three things. And then forth, then I ask him to bless me, my parents, my family, my teachers, my church. And it's a pretty long list some days of those for whom we are praying. If you pray that way, children, you always make a good thanksgiving first. And then when you have to do other things, you're honoring him that way as well. Last of all, here's a secret that most Catholics don't know about. You receive many graces at your communion, children, but the time that our Lord is actually inside of you, like a ciborium or a tabernacle, those are the times of many actual graces. You have a right to ask for and receive as many graces as you need. Do you remember what an actual grace is? It's a little help or a sort of a push from God to be good. So if I'm tempted against purity, I say, Blessed Mother, please make me pure. Or if I'm tempted to nudge somebody else and talk in church, then I say, Jesus, I love you in the Blessed Sacrament. Or if I'm tempted to be lazy or tell a lie or fight or smack somebody right in the kisser, whatever the temptation is, I can ask for graces. Now, I can do that all day long, but when I have our Lord on the inside of me, I have a right to ask and to receive. This is the special time of grace, children. Never, ever again, for the rest of your lives, waste it. Oh, and if you ever see one of the fathers sending altar boys after you with their candles burning, maybe that would be a reminder. Did I make my thanksgiving today? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.